This podcast is sponsored by Monarch Money. Are you saving to reach your financial goals? Reaching those goals isn't just about getting more money, but by managing what you have. And the best way to manage your money? Monarch Money. Monarch Money is a new kind of finance app that's intuitive, powerful, ad-free, and takes the headaches out of budgeting. Try it free when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. Monarch puts all your accounts, investments, transactions, and finances at your fingertips. With a complete view of your finances, you'll gain insights on your spending and find new ways to save. Plus, Monarch lets you customize your dashboard, collaborate with your partner, set custom budgets and goals, and track your progress toward them. See why Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it, and why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch Money the best budgeting app overall. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
Hi, I'm Harry Littman, host of Talking Feds, a roundtable that brings together prominent figures from government law and journalism for a dynamic discussion of the most important topics of the day. Each Monday, I'm joined by a slate of Feds favorites and new voices to break down the headlines and give the insider's view of what's going on in Washington and beyond, plus sidebars explaining important legal concepts read by your favorite celebrities. Find Talking Feds wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, all. This is Glenn Kirshner, and you're listening to Mueller, She Wrote.
So to be clear, Mr. Trump has no financial relationships with any Russian oligarchs.
That's what he said. That's what I said. That's obviously what our position is.
I'm not aware of any of those activities. I have been called a surrogate at a time or two in that campaign, and I did not have communications with the Russians.
What do I have to get involved with Putin for? I have nothing to do with Putin. I've never spoken to him. I don't know anything about him other than he will respect me. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
So, it is political. You're a communist.
No, Mr. Green. Communism is just a red herring. Like all members of the oldest profession, I'm a capitalist.
Hello, and welcome to Mueller, She Wrote. I'm your non-anonymous host, Allison Gill. You know me as AG. We have a big show today as we continue to dust off the good old Alpha Bank Trump Tower back channel server communication saga. I have some exclusive reporting that only Mueller, She Wrote has from a very reliable source who has spoken with me on the condition of anonymity. There's also some movement in the Rudy Giuliani case, as we have a new update from the special master, Barbara Jones. We have a new indictment in the Durham investigation of the Oranges, and it's just as stupid as the Sussman indictment. And I'll have former counterintelligence assistant director and host of the Bureau podcast, Frank Figliuzzi, on with me later, who pored over the indictment with me to discuss it in length. There's some news out about the Manhattan District Attorney's Office going on with that Trump Organization Weisselberg-type investigation, and a little bit more on the Tom Barrack case. And of course, we'll have some sabotage and the Fantasy Indictment League, so big show. Also, today begins with the new MSW Book Club series on Here, Right, Matters by Colonel Alexander Vindman. That's an 8-part series with the final episode to include the author himself with me answering questions posed by you, our patrons. To find the form to send in a question about the book for Alex to answer, just head to patreon.com/MuellerSheWrote. You get access to ad-free episodes of M. Mueller, She Wrote as a patron. You get ad-free episodes of the book club, the Daily Beans. You get bonus content, meetup information, happy hour Zoom calls, our weekly newsletter that includes my personal research notes, access to private social media groups, all for $3 a month or $36 a year. Your contribution goes towards increasing pay and benefits to our amazing team. So thank you so much for sponsoring and being a patron of these shows. All right, we have a lot of news to get to, so let's jump in with just the facts. All right, y'all, check this shit out. Tom Barrack's ex-assistant, who complained that wearing an ankle bracelet interfered with his surfing and tennis, lost his legal bid to remove the GPS tracking device while he awaits trial with his former boss on charges of acting as an unregistered foreign agent. U.S. District Judge Brian Cogan on Tuesday rejected a request by Matthew Grimes, a 28-year-old, to modify his bail conditions. Grimes' attorney guess who? Abby Lowell said in court papers that his client can't immerse the device in water and that it was embarrassing to wear and it impeded his search for new employment. Oh, God, white people problems. Here's a quote from the judge. It seemed to me the purposes you're offering are not all that compelling, he said in federal court in Brooklyn, New York. The evidence against Grimes is, quote, overwhelming because he was, quote, a central actor, essential to the success of the illicit foreign influence campaign. That's according to prosecutors who warned the judge that he is subject by pressure to Barrack and the foreign leaders that they're accused of helping. Lowell, Abby Lowell, insisted that the chance of Grimes fleeing his Southern California home is remote. But Kogan said, quote, the circumstances of this case are so unique, this is the judge, that removing the bracelet doesn't warrant taking that degree of risk. Again, the circumstances of this case are so unique. This is some shit we haven't seen most of the time. Despite rejecting the ankle monitor request, the judge did agree with other bail modifications. He let Grimes travel domestically if he gives prior notice, lifted a curfew, and increased the amount he can spend without giving prior notice to $100,000 from $10,000. Oh, yay. Tom Barrack, founder of Colony Capital, Inc. and former top Trump fundraiser, was charged in July with illegally lobbying for the United Arab Emirates, as well as obstruction of justice and lying to federal officials during a 2019 interview. Grimes was also charged with illegal lobbying. Both have pleaded not guilty and deny wrongdoing. Prosecutors feared that Grimes had, quote, directly interacted with extremely wealthy, powerful foreign powers. That's Assistant U.S. Attorney Ryan Harris. And those foreign officials could ensure, quote, that he was able to get away and his family could be made whole. Kogan asked if the prosecutors had intelligence that, quote, there has been any discussion or chatter about interfering with this trial. Harris said he was not in a position to answer. The judge said, you don't know or you can't say. And Harris said, I don't think I can in a public setting, and I don't think it's appropriate. This case will also involve sealed hearings about evidence protected under the Classified Information Procedures Act. Again, very unique case. So let's put this into context, because Barrack recommended Manafort for the campaign chair job. He also sat atop the criminal enterprise known as the Trump inaugural, with Manafort pal Rick Gates as the deputy. And as we well know from Andrew Weissman's book, who has been radio silent since tweeting out our Daily Beans interview in July, just 10 days before Tom Barrack was indicted, Andrew Weissman said they did have enough to nab Manafort for conspiracy when he handed over that polling data to a known Russian agent known as Konstantin Kalimnik. And we know the current case against Tom Barrack includes classified information. And we also know that very recently, Tom Barrack unloaded two expensive trial lawyers. And as you know, I have personally heard rumors intelligence from my inside sources, which are very reliable but have not yet been corroborated by any major news outlets, that Tom Barrack is cooperating with the feds, or at least trying to. We also know that Tom Barrack was the preferred link of communication between MBS, MBZ, and the White House. And according to the indictment, Tom Barrack lobbied for the Middle East Marshall Plan to give U.S. nuclear technology to the United Arab Emirates and the Saudis. We also know Trump accepted a massive bribe from Saudi Arabia, and that the Saudis made a huge payment to a bank in Egypt, and that there was a fourth team in the Mueller office looking into that and other financial issues that have yet to be uncovered. We also know there was enough to charge Tom Barrack last year, but prosecutors sat on this until Trump and Barr were gone. The Inspector General of the Department of Justice is investigating whether Barr blocked or quashed any federal probes against political allies during his tenure. I'm excited to see what happens in that Inspector General report and also what happens in the Tom Barrack probe. And I have some exclusive information from a reliable source about the Alpha Bank Trump Tower Spectrum Health covert communications. As you know, this story has recently resurfaced because Durham, the special counsel appointed by Bill Barr to investigate the oranges, and in case you wonder why I keep saying oranges, that's what Donald said at one point. He couldn't say the word origins, so he repeated the word oranges several times. So now we just call it the oranges. When I'm talking about investigating the investigation of Trump Russia, that's the oranges. Anyway, Durham, this whole thing came back, this Alpha Bank thing came back, but Durham indicted a lawyer named Sussman, who was close to researchers looking into the weird communications between a server in Trump Tower and a couple of Alpha Bank servers, and a Spectrum Health server. Alpha Bank is the biggest bank in Russia, and its CEO, Peter Avin, wanted a back channel for Russian communications with the Trump transition team. Co-founder of the Alpha Bank, Herman Kahn, has a son-in-law named Alex van der Zwaan, who was indicted in the Mueller probe for lying about his communications with Rick Gates and Konstantin Kilimnik. And Spectrum Health is a Betsy DeVos joint. And we know her brother was a proxy for Trump when he met with representatives from Russia and the United Arab Emirates in the Seychelles to discuss sanctions and setting up a back channel of communication during the Trump transition. Anyhow, my source, my very reliable source, tells me a new piece of information that has not publicly been reported from what I can find, at least. If it has, shoot it on over to me. I haven't seen it. That new information is that the Trump server sent out a ping to 5 servers. Hello. And 3 responded, hey, we hear you. 2 Alpha Bank servers and 1 Spectrum server. Those are the 3. And the Trump Tower server exclusively communicated with only those 3 servers. It did not communicate with tens of thousands of other servers, as had been suggested or posited, which would indicate spam or marketing communications like a normal company does. No, the Trump server was only talking to Spectrum and the 2 Alpha Bank servers. And that is a very new piece of kind of important information. So take that into account when you hear reports about what's going on with Alpha Bank. We know Maddow recently covered a big chunk of important information coming from the original researchers who looked into the Alpha Bank stuff and had concluded in emails that this was definitely a covert communications back channel and that Trump and Alpha Bank tried to cover it up, despite Durham's assessment in his 27-page indictment for one charge of lying, that those researchers had concluded that there was no there there. He left out exculpatory information. I think that's a Brady violation. I don't think he should be special counsel. I don't think he was appointed under any authority, but I digress. Finally, the Manhattan District Attorney, Cy Vance. We know he's been using a special grand jury, meeting 3 times a week since May. And with that grand jury, he did indict Weisselberg and the Trump Organization on multiple counts of tax fraud for basically executives getting perks without paying taxes on them, such as school tuition, cars, and apartments. That grand jury expires in the next 2 weeks. And we know additional indictments are coming because Weisselberg's attorney said so in court a couple weeks ago. So we got a little Christmas gift. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office has impaneled another special grand jury for another 6 months to meet 3 days a week. And according to those familiar with this shiz, this one will be focusing on asset valuations, property valuations, and those pesky conservation easements I've been talking about forever. All right. As you know, illegitimate special counsel John Durham, tasked with the oranges, has arrested a Russian guy that gave information to Christopher Steele for lying to the FBI, and he wants you to believe that the lies are material because apparently, according to Durham, in this very long indictment, according to him, the Steele dossier was heavily relied upon for the opening of Crossfire Hurricane, the Mueller probe, the Carter Page FISA warrant. Apparently, it was the basis for the Magna Carta. It's the reason we're setting our clocks back this week. It's the basis for the strong nuclear force that holds all matter and therefore reality together. You know, the Steele dossier, responsible for everything. And joining me next to discuss the latest loser of an indictment is former assistant director of the FBI for counterintelligence and host of the podcast, The Bureau, Frank Figluzzi. Stay with us. Hey, everybody, it's AG, and today's episode is brought to you by the Wild Alaskan Company. If you'd like to cook a lot, like I do, and you know that flavorful meals start with high-quality food and simple ingredients, you are going to love Wild Alaskan Company. Their seafood is frozen right after it's caught for peak freshness, so you can avoid the fuss of unhealthy sauces and over-seasoning. Ugh. Instead, all you need are a few simple ingredients, and you've got a delicious lunch or dinner for your whole family, or for just you. Wild Alaskan Company delivers high-quality, sustainably sourced, wild-caught seafood right to your door. Each shipment contains premium cuts of individually wrapped portions for delicious seafood experiences that are ready to prepare and easy to cook and amazing to eat. Choose from salmon, cod, halibut, and more, or a combination. And every month there are different specials to explore. Wild Alaskan Company Seafood is how nature intended it to be. Always wild, never farmed, never modified, no antibiotics. And you can adjust, pause, or cancel your membership anytime. I've done it. It's super simple. And they offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back, so there's no risk. And right now, you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/MSW. That's wildalaskan, A-L-A-S-K-A-N, company.com/MSW for $15 off your first box. wildalaskancompany.com/MSW, and please use our URL to let them know we sent you. And today's show is also brought to you by Wealthfront. If you want to invest in the long term, it helps to invest on your terms. Maybe you're pro-solar. Maybe you're a cannabis supporter. Maybe you're an emerging market crypto nerd. Whoever you are, you should invest in what you believe in. And that's what makes Wealthfront so great. In just minutes, you can get started with Wealthfront's classic portfolio, or you can make things custom with the investments you care most about. Wealthfront even offers a socially responsible portfolio, which I love. It's a mix of funds built around human rights, climate change, and sustainability. Woohoo. Wealthfront is super easy to personalize, meaning you can tweak your portfolio to match the things you care about, like clean energy funds, crypto, cannabis, and hundreds more. So no matter what you're into, Wealthfront will help you build your wealth responsibly and protect you from making a bad mistake, like going all in on some bad advice you got on Reddit. Best of all, Wealthfront is totally automated. They do all the trading and all the rebalancing, and they even help lower your tax bills as you invest. Wealthfront is trusted with over $27 billion in assets, helping nearly 500,000 people build their wealth. Get your first $5,000 managed for free at wealthfront.com/MSW. It takes just minutes to start building your wealth. Visit wealthfront.com/MSW. That's Wealthfront, FRONT.com/MSW. Everybody, welcome back. Joining me today, host of The Bureau, amazing podcast, author of The FBI Way, and former assistant director of the FBI for counterintelligence, Mr. Frank Figluzzi. Frank, hello. Welcome back to Mueller, She Wrote. It's been a long time since you've been on this particular podcast.
That's true. Sometimes I get confused about where I am at any given time, but now you've reminded me. I'm glad to be on Mueller, She Wrote.
Yeah, and we did, you know, we did talk a little bit on the Daily Beans about what's been going on with what we're about to discuss. You know, with regards to this indictment from Durham, which I do apologize again. I know we talked about this. You cannot get those 2 hours of your life back that you spent reviewing this indictment. But I really wanted to do a deep dive into this on the Mueller She Wrote podcast, because, as you know, Bill Barr appointed John Durham prior as special counsel from within the government, which is weird because that's against the rules of appointment for a special counsel. But, you know, whatever, that's neither here nor there yet. And we've talked about the Sussman indictment. I know you and I have discussed that as well. We've talked about the Kleinsmith indictment. And now we're on the third indictment. And this is for lying to the FBI, right? To investigators, to the special counsel.
It's five counts. And as first, let me back up for those wondering what we're talking about when I say I lost 2 hours of my life. I say that because I took the time to read this indictment by Durham a couple of times. I researched independently to refresh my recollection, as they say, on whether, you know, things were accurately portrayed in his indictment or not. And I came away thinking, boy, I just wasted 2 hours of my life because I don't think it was worth the investment of time. That's my summary of this indictment, but I want to get into the weeds on it. And yes, it's five counts of Title 18 USC 1001, which is lying to the FBI. And I'll note that he's, you know, it's like, you know, do you remember, I don't know about you, but you had to show your work in math homework in middle school or elementary school, and you didn't know what was going on. So you kind of just, you know, three pages of notations about numbers and things. That's essentially what he's done with this. It's 39 pages. And he's the five counts. You say, well, that sounds serious. Five federal counts of lying. Three of them at least. Now, maybe, hold on. Let me check my notes. No, two, three, four, and five. So four of them are all related to the same lie, which is interesting. Now, allegedly he lied on different dates to the FBI, but that's not usual. So he's kind of making something out of this. Let's dig into it. I want to preface this by saying something. When people are found to have lied to the FBI, they should be charged if it's material. Okay. I want to say that up front, because I know some people are going to, particularly maybe on some other network that we shall not name, might go, look at this former FBI agent somehow defending some Russian who's lied to the FBI. That's not me. If you lie to the FBI, you know, God help you. And if it's found to be material, you should be charged. Okay. Having said that, I started getting really concerned in just the first few paragraphs by the way the narrative is being shaped. It's a story. It's not really that much of an indictment stating facts. Here's some of the shaping I'm talking about. In the very first paragraph, Durham says Crossfire Hurricane, that's the initial FBI Russian counterintelligence investigation, was all about whether or not the Trump campaign was coordinating with the Russian government. Well, Crossfire Hurricane was much bigger than that. It was, were the Russians interfering in the 2016 election writ large, right? It was a comprehensive counterintelligence investigation. So from really the first sentence in the first paragraph, he's already shaping this narrative for us. Like, hey, I'm telling you, the FBI thought Trump was no good, and that's why they opened this case. And now I'm about to tell you it's all a house of cards. That's from paragraph one. Okay. Then he says, and by the way, I'll just note on whether or not Russia was or not coordinating with Trump campaign people. Exhibit A, Paul Manafort and his deputy at campaign headquarters, who he was passing campaign data to, who now has been called a known Russian agent. So, okay, you know, coordinate, not, you figure that out. All right. Now, I also happen to mention that Special Counsel Mueller indicted 24 Russians, okay? And again, if people are saying, yep, see, no coordination, because they're saying it now on a certain news network. See that? Nothing there. Independent of anything that Durham's talking about, Mueller indicted 24 Russians. 12 of them were card-carrying GRU intelligence agents. So again, you make the call on that. Paragraph two. He refers to, now he never names Christopher Steele, but he's talking about Christopher Steele. Paragraph two, he calls Steele just a former British government employee. Okay. Christopher Steele was the head of the Russia desk for British intelligence.
Yeah, that's like calling me, you know, I am a former U.S. federal government employee.
Yeah, same here.
Right. That would be like you and I did the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, no characterization of his expertise, his whole career devoted to studying Russia. No. He's a former British government employee. Okay. Paragraph three, Hillary Clinton's campaign retained a firm to conduct research against Trump. Well, he never mentions anywhere in there that, okay, hold on, this whole thing started with Republicans paying for research against Trump because they didn't like Trump, right? No mention of, hey, this thing started with Republicans, blaming everything on Hillary Clinton at this point. Very interesting. And then this is big, and you and I have talked about this. The biggest mischaracterization of all in Durham's indictment and his lovely story is that everything hinged on the Steele dossier. Just everything. My God, the Carter Page affidavit, you know, that hinged on the Steele dossier. The whole thing that rolled into the Mueller inquiry, that hinged on the Steele significantly. Well, and by the way, he describes Carter Page as an advisor to the presidential campaign. The counterintelligence case on Carter Page predates any of that. The FBI thought Carter Page was no good and a Russian operative well before he became connected in whatever way he was to the Trump campaign.
Yeah, and he was an informant for the CIA. That goes back to Kleinsmith's thing. But, you know, criminal informants are not always innocent. Because they are part of the crimes. And that's true in this case with what was going on with the Russians that were indicted and one still on the lam, I think in 2013 or something like that. And not to mention, Frank, by the time that FISA warrant was signed by Rod Rosenstein, By the time that FISA warrant was signed by Rod Rosenstein, who Inspector General Horowitz said that would have been signed regardless of whether the Steele dossier was accounted for or not. That was signed. That renewal was signed after Carter Page had left the Trump campaign and was no longer an advisor.
Right. So now we have Durham contradicting the DOJ Inspector General's finding that the Carter Page affidavit would have been signed regardless of the dossier. But it's this larger mischaracterization and this misplaced reliance on the dossier that he keeps hitting us over the head with that simply isn't accurate. So all of that goes toward just really a suspect reason and for a long stretch of an indictment. And so paragraph 7 says the FBI was unable to corroborate most of the substantive allegations in the dossier and the research reports. That's simply not true. Right. In fact, most experts will tell you that the majority of the dossier has been proven accurate. So particularly, you know, the dossier, everybody keeps thinking about the P tapes and when they think of the dossier. The dossier broadly said, I think the Russians are engaged in interfering with the election. That was the message of the dossier, which has been proven true for what we just talked about. The two dozen Russians indicted, Manafort's campaign deputy that got data, the hacking, the propaganda, all of that. So paragraph 11. All right, now we're getting into the meat of why you get charged for lying to the FBI. And again, no sympathy for anybody who does that. This guy that's been indicted for that is called Igor Danchenko. And I have to tell you, no great shock that a shady suspect, Russian type operative, shockingly lied to the FBI. Oh my God, we should be amazed at that, right? I'm being sarcastic because of course the FBI, when looking at data that may be subsourced from somebody like this, and whether they knew at the time or not, we need more details here, right? How much did the FBI know and when? That may be the next thing Durham's headed for. But, you know, there's supposed to be some shock factor in this indictment. Oh my God, Christopher Steele relied on somebody who's a shady Russian guy who lied. As you said earlier, informants, I've never had an informant who was a Sunday school teacher. I just never have. So I that's just the way it goes. Now, what's he lied about? Okay.
Yeah, I want to get into the specifics of the lie, because there are certain things, and I would expect another bill of particulars to come quickly after this, notwithstanding any pretrial motions. But I have to take a quick break. Will you stay with me?
Sure.
Thanks, everybody. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's AG, and I want to thank Credit Karma for sponsoring this portion of the show. Do you sometimes feel overwhelmed when it comes to handling personal finances? I do. You aren't the only one. You are not alone. And Credit Karma is here to help you make those big calls with more confidence. Whether you're refinancing credit card debt or paying for an upcoming expense, Credit Karma uses your credit data to show you fresh personal loan offers that are personalized just for you. And the best part about Credit Karma is it's completely free, and comparing loan offers won't affect your credit score. Finding the right loan when I needed to pay off home renovations was challenging, but with Credit Karma, they made it so incredibly easy and helpful. It was just wonderful. Their customer service is amazing. Plus, Credit Karma helps you keep track of your financial progress and lets you know if you can refinance to save money. No bank does that. Ready to apply? Head to creditkarma.com/loan offers to see personalized offers with your approval odds right now. Go to creditkarma.com/loan offers to find the loan for you. Again, creditkarma.com/loan offers. You'll be glad you did.
Everybody, welcome back. We are talking with former assistant director of the FBI for counterintelligence, host of The Bureau, which is an amazing podcast, Frank Vigluzzi. And Frank, before the break, we were about to get into the statements, the lies, right? The actual 1001s, if you will. And I'm reminded immediately of the Sussman indictment, because in the bill of particulars, Sussman's lawyers came back to Durham and said, hey, you didn't even put down word for word what the lie is, or whether or not it was an omission or a lie, 1001A or 1001B. That was a bill of particulars filed by Sussman's lawyers saying, oh, we won't get into materiality yet. But what are the particulars here of the lie or the lies, two lies, right?
I do want to talk about materiality later, because it is really kind of like a middle school approach to showing things you know people are going to take issue with. But anyway, all right, so Charge one, essentially, is that he lied when he said he never communicated with somebody referred to as PR Executive One, specific about anything specific in the dossier, in the reporting, any allegations that have come up in all of this reporting. He says, I never communicated with PR Executive One. We don't know who that is. Well, Durham comes in and says, that's a lie. Now, here's the thing. Imagine yourself on a jury, because if this goes to a jury, it's going to be very interesting. When you're presented with this, the language is, and Durham does include language. I never said anything specifically about those charges, communicated about that with PR1, but perhaps we talked about related issues. Oh boy. Really, you're charging that? The guy says, perhaps we talked about related issues. Good luck with that charge. No, number two, Danchenko lied when he guessed who an anonymous caller was, and he said it was the head of the Russian Chamber of Commerce in the U.S. Okay,
That's Sergei Milian, by the way.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about it.
How can you lie about guessing?
Well, exactly. I think I'm talking to Allison Gill. Sounds like Allison Gill. Could be wrong. I think that's who it was. Now Durham goes on
liar.
Later on. Liar, lying. Sorry. Now, but I will say this to give Durham credit. Later on, he explains more details. He says Danchenko was lying because he went on a New York trip after this. And never met. We see no evidence that he met with this guy, because the whole thing was about setting up a face-to-face with the head of the Russian Chamber of Commerce. Durham says, you're lying because that never happened. In fact, I see you going to the Bronx Zoo in New York one day, and you didn't meet with the guy while you were in New York. And the time frame where you say you got this anonymous call predates the trip to New York, where you went to the Bronx Zoo, and later on, you sent an email to the head of the Russian Chamber of Commerce, and you said, "Hey, we're still not meeting. Are you seeing my emails?" And you told somebody else, "Hey, he's not agreeing to a meeting." But yet, you think you got an anonymous call that was him. Okay, again, good luck with that charge, because beyond a reasonable doubt that he didn't get. Remember, this is a shady underworld of Russian intel, Russian organized crime. Who knows who? And do people get anonymous calls? Yes. Do they? Can you prove a negative? You never got an anonymous call. Good luck.
Yeah. I was going to ask, how can you prove that someone did not get a call?
Yeah. And when you're going to hang the guy by his own words, where he says, I think it was that guy who called me. I don't know. Okay. Good luck with that. So we go on now. Let's talk about the three that now it's four charges involving this Chamber of Commerce scenario. This guy, the anonymous call guy. Well, it's merely I'm not downplaying lying to the FBI if he's guilty and it's material, great. But it's just breaking down the separate charges from the same set of facts. You lied to us here. You lied to us there. Well, he kept saying basically the same thing. I think it was that guy. And they kept charging him now with it. So let's talk about the key to a lie, a charge for 1001. Materiality. Now, you know, in the Sussman case, all the talking heads all over television, all the legal experts were saying there really is no materiality here. The guy, Sussman never, he's accused of lying about what? About which client he might have been representing, if any, at any given time when he reported his concerns to the FBI. And I don't see materiality in that. You should go to the FBI with a concern.
And Durham said, well, you know, it's material because the FBI might have done things different.
Right. So now, chastised by television pundits, here comes John Durham with this indictment and repeatedly... I shouldn't be laughing, but repeatedly in the indictment, Durham uses phrases like very material, really material, substantially material. He's been chastised, right? So he's saying, I'm telling you, this is material. And so why is it material? Well, two things. The Carter Page wiretap might never have happened.
That's not true, according to
the Inspector General. And we know that's just bull feathers. And then secondly, this I like a lot. The FBI really expended a lot of resources on what this guy was saying. They worked really hard to try and prove or disprove it. And boy, all those resources, that makes his lies material. Well, the FBI works really hard to prove or disprove anybody's statement. So again, I'm just concerned that this is a huge stretch. And I don't know where Durham's going with this, but I'm increasingly concerned that he's got an agenda that's not necessarily in the public service. And if it goes, I think he's hoping for guilty pleas, because if this goes to a jury, I'm not sure it's going to work.
Yeah. And not to mention about materiality, these two lies happened a year after, more than a year after Crossfire Hurricane was opened with criminal predication. So they have nothing to do with, when I first heard that there was an indictment coming down, I tweeted out, we don't know what it is yet, but the New York Times says it's got to do with somebody who was part of the dossier. I was like, you know what this sounds like? It sounds like somebody leaked it. Durham leaked it to the press to get him to say that before you put out what was in the meat of the indictment. And I said, I bet it's got nothing to do with the opening of the Trump-Russia probe.
Right.
As
we said, in the very first paragraph of this indictment, what is he leaked with? Crossfire Hurricane, implying it's all based on the dossier, which it was not. So look, we're in the place in this country where you're going to watch your news network of choice. You're going to believe, I already see on social media, that's it. It's all over. You know, it was all house cards. See, it's nothing. There's nothing about the Russia case. Okay, that's fine. We'll forget about the two dozen Russians indicted, the hacking, the propaganda, and the actual facts that Carter Page was under investigation previously, that Crossfire Hurricane was open before the dossier, that the IG said the Carter Page update would have happened anyway. We'll just forget about all that.
It's the same talking points we've been saying over and over again to push back against the disinformation that the Steele dossier was the predicate for opening any of these investigations, be it Mueller probe, Crossfire Hurricane, or getting the FISA warrant signed off for Carter Page, who was not working for the Trump campaign at that point, and who nothing ever happened. Now, again, you're right. Lying to the FBI is a big deal. But what does it say? What I can't understand is, I thought Durham was a pretty straight shooter. Mm-hmm. And I can't understand why he's bending to this narrative. First of all, I'm surprised grand juries put these indictments forward. But, okay. What would be the motivation to do this? I mean, why would you do this to yourself if you're Durham?
So I and I've told you this before, I worked for John Durham before I was ever an FBI agent. I was his intern on an organized crime strike force in Connecticut that he headed up. I worked directly with him. He is a solid career prosecutor. This is the guy if your family member's a victim of a federal crime, you want this guy going after the bad guy. Sure. Absolutely. And he's worked very sensitive cases involving FBI misconduct, CIA misconduct. He's done it all. Okay. So motivation. I think he's a true believer. I think he's in the mold of Bill Barr that appointed him. Reading this indictment, I had flashbacks to Bill Barr's four-page summary of the Mueller report, right, where he got out in front of it and summarized it all wrong and shaped it and convinced the public there's nothing really here. That looks a lot like this indictment. I'm shaping this narrative. I'm telling you my belief, my story. I think he's a true believer. I think he's on the far right. I think he's an ultra conservative. I think he believes he's doing God's work, literally, when he kind of takes down anybody that was going after the GOP candidate who was going to save the world. I think that's where this might be coming from.
Some people have posited some sort of pressure, compromised. You know, that he's compromised somehow. But yeah, no, I think you're right. I think he's just in that sort of camp, in that train of, because, you know, there were times when we got the texts between Manafort and Hannity,
And it sort of answered the question, do these assholes believe their own bullshit? Yes. Unless they were texting thinking they would get out, they seem to believe everything that Trump was feeding them. And that's, to me, more frightening than somebody diabolical making it up or somebody blackmailing somebody to say something.
I agree. You know, and you've got two choices when the fork in the road comes and, you know, you've been tasked to do something, find something, and you can't find it really in a substantive way. You can say, look, I'm done. I'm done here. It's not here. And that's the high road. And that's the hard ethical thing to do. Or you can go, God darn it. Now I've got to kind of salvage this. And my, you know, kind of in a twisted way, I got to salvage my legacy by finding something. And so he's finding something, yes, whether it has legs or not, where it's going, whether he's going to go higher and now say, okay, I've discounted the Steele dossier somehow, which he's not, by the way, he's not, but he thinks he has. And now I'm going to go after, you know, executives at FBI who pressed this Crossfire Hurricane case. Okay, we still got a special counsel out of it that resulted in all these indictments. So I don't, where are you guys? So where are you going with this? I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that Attorney General Garland is going to tend to let him continue going. I mean, he approved his budget. He's sort of hands off here. He's allowed these indictments to happen. I don't know that he necessarily had a choice, but he certainly, I'm sure, was informed about it. There have been letters that have gone to him from Sussman's lawyers before the indictment came out saying, don't let this indictment stand. He let it go forward. I haven't seen that letter. But he's sort of allowing this to go forward. And I think I think a lot of people think that sucks. But I also think it's probably the best thing to do to avoid even the appearance of politicization.
Right. Yeah, think of the alternative, right? Imagine the headlines. AG steps in and dismisses Durham just as he was on the cusp of getting to the truth, right? No, I think the alternative that Garland's taking is smart. Okay, you go with that. That's your story. Yep, get that to a jury. Let defense counsel take care of you. Let's see where this goes. Sure. Okay.
Even pretrial motions after bills of particulars, right? Where they're going to be asking to dismiss this case, either based on materiality and the merits, or simply based on the fact that Durham was appointed under no authority.
I have to tell you, if I'm defense counsel for either Sussman or Danchenko, I'm calling to the witness stand FBI agents, and I'm going to ask them the questions. Did you materially rely on Christopher Steele's dossier for anything? Did you, would things have been any different if you knew this truth that Danchenko lied about who he thought was on an anonymous call or not?
Call Horowitz. Call the inspector general.
Call Horowitz. Exactly. So, you know, Durham's a bright guy. He must have thought 3 and 4 steps ahead here.
Yeah.
But
call Jim Baker.
But FBI agents calling Durham a liar is going to be fascinating in court. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, especially with the likes of Jim Baker, Inspector General Horowitz, anybody else who, you know, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned for sure. Thank you so much. Everybody check out the Bureau, and you have to read The FBI Way if you haven't. I tell everybody, Frank, it applies to every facet of life, whether you're running a business or you're trying to get your personal shit in order, whatever it is, the FBI way is a good way.
Yeah, that's the happiest thing about the book for me is people are applying it to all kinds of situations. And it's great. And the paperback will come out in January.
Ooh, fancy. Awesome. That'd be a great gift. My birthday's in January, everybody. Of course, I have a copy of the book. But thank you so much. I appreciate your time, Frank.
And
we'll see you soon. Let us know what's coming up on the Bureau.
Yeah, we've got every Tuesday we release a new episode this week. Check it out. We've talked to the FBI's official historian. Who knew, right, that the FBI has an historian? Why? So we don't repeat the sins of the past. We study things like Black Panthers and the FBI, MLK and the FBI, and he teaches new agents at the academy about this. So we're going to learn about how the FBI preserves its culture while learning from its mistakes. We're also going to learn about how you get your own FBI file, or anybody else's for that matter. Check out this week's episode.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Everybody, stick around. We'll be right back with a Fantasy Indictment League. Hey, everyone. This segment of the show is brought to you by Aura. Most credit card companies do a good job of protecting you against fraudulent purchases. But what if a scammer files for unemployment in your name? Or if your social media accounts are hacked? Aura's protection goes well beyond your credit cards. Aura protects your online finances, personal information, and tech from online threats. It's all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and so much more. You'll be alerted to fraudulent activity and threats fast with Aura. For example, if your online accounts or passwords are compromised, or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name, boom, you get an alert. Aura solutions are easy to set up. All plans come with a proactive $1 million ID theft insurance. And you can always get in touch with a U.S.-based customer service member at any time to help you out. Aura is a new type of security service that protects all your online information and devices with one simple subscription. With an easy online dashboard and alerts sent straight to your phone, Aura keeps you in control and guides you through solving any issues for a limited time. Aura is offering our listeners up to 40% off plans when you visit aura.com/MSW. Go to aura.com/MSW to get complete protection and savings of up to 40%. That's Aura, aura.com/MSW. All right, everybody, welcome back. Are you ready for Sabotage? And this story comes from Murray Wass. Any longtime listener, Mueller, she wrote, knows his work. Wass broke more than 24 significant stories regarding Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation, focusing primarily on whether Trump obstructed justice. He did. Those stories appeared in the New York Review of Books, the New York Times, Vox, and Foreign Policy. Wass broke the first story, disclosing that former FBI Director Comey had corroborated with witnesses when it came to his allegations that Trump ordered him to shut down an FBI investigation into Flynn. Remember that? Special Counsel Mueller investigated Comey's allegations as potential obstruction of justice. Trump and his political supporters had, prior to Wass's story, argued that Trump would not face serious legal jeopardy as a result of Comey's allegations because whatever was said or transpired was based solely on the word of the president of the United States versus the FBI director he had fired. We have to keep in mind that it's one person's record of what happened. That was RNC chair Ronna Romney McDaniel, she said on Fox News. The only two people who know what happened were the president and Jim Comey. Guess what, Ronna? Remember the Comey Five? Remember these from early Kitchen Days episodes? On June 7th, 2017, a report in Vox was disclosed that Comey contemporaneously spoke at length with three of his top aides about the president ordering to shut down the investigation of Flynn. Wass wrote, quote, those three officials, according to people familiar with the details, were Jim Rubicki, Comey's chief of staff and senior counselor, James Baker, who is now wrapped up in this Sussman indictment by the illegitimate Durham investigating the Oranges, and the FBI's general counsel. He was the FBI's general counsel, and Andy McCabe, the Bureau's deputy director. We all know what happened to them. Comey himself confirmed that this was a case when he testified to the Senate Intelligence Committee the following day in response to questions. He was prompted by the Wass story. Wass also was one of the first reporters to disclose how Trump attempted to exploit the DOJ to improperly investigate his perceived political enemies. On November 9th, 2018, Wass reported in Vox that then-acting Attorney General Matthew fucking Whitaker privately provided advice to the president last year on how the White House might be able to pressure the Justice Department to investigate the president's political adversaries. More specifically, also disclosing for the first time that Whitaker had counseled the president in private on how the White House might be able to pressure the Justice Department to name a special counsel to investigate Hillary Clinton. And this week, Murray Wass reached out to me on Twitter with his latest, which I immediately retweeted and is now this week's Sabotage. Wass writes the following for The Guardian. Quote, federal prosecutors in the Southern District have compiled a list of more than 24 specific acts by Rudy Giuliani, Tonzing, and DeGeneva as to how to advance their personal and political interests or the personal and political interests of a group of Ukrainian prosecutors and political factions in Ukraine with which they were aligned. Prosecutors considered each one of these acts to be crucial evidence of a potential violation of the law. In a previously undisclosed episode, The Guardian has learned that federal investigators have uncovered extensive, detailed plans devised by Lutsenko, that's a former Ukrainian prosecutor, and approved by Giuliani, by which they would announce and promote an investigation of Joe Biden and his son Hunter in Ukraine to help boost Trump's chances of re-election. Investigators as early as last year obtained emails received and sent by Lutsenko describing various elements of the scheme. And that's according to a source close to the investigation. This is new info. Trump and conservative news outlets from 2019 until the present day have made baseless allegations, since thoroughly debunked, that Biden, as vice president, pressured Ukraine to fire its prosecutor general for investigating Burisma, upon whose board Hunter Biden sat. Trump claimed this without evidence and that Biden sought the firing of the prosecutor so his son would escape scrutiny. Trump hoped to make the allegations a centerpiece of his reelection campaign. As part of that effort, Lutsenko and then Prosecutor General of Ukraine, analogous to the Attorney General in the United States, agreed to publicly announce a criminal investigation in Ukraine of Biden and Hunter. Lutsenko simultaneously had been a driving force to award Giuliani, Tonzing, and DeGeneva the hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal retainers in contracts, according to the same sources. Only the unexpected election of the new president, Volodymyr Zelensky, with whom the plotting Ukrainian prosecutors had little or no influence, led them to abandon their plan. Although only briefly, because Trump was obsessed with getting it back on track as soon as possible. And to that end, in July of 2019, Trump made his infamous perfect call to Zelensky. At the time, he was withholding $400 million in military aid to Ukraine. We know this story well. Federal investigators have obtained a document and witness statements detailing how the three Ukrainian prosecutors would, at Giuliani's behest, help Trump and Giuliani promote the Biden-Ukraine allegations, even if there was no truth in them. First, Lutsenko would publicly declare he was reopening a long-dormant investigation of Burisma, and that the Bidens were under investigation as part of that inquiry. Lutsenko's deputy, one of them, named Kulik, would take charge of the portion of the investigation that focused on the Bidens, and publicly verify any allegations of wrongdoing on their part. And finally, Shokin, former prosecutor general of Ukraine who had previously investigated Burisma, agreed to allege publicly that Biden had fired him to quash an investigation of Burisma he'd conducted earlier. Giuliani and Lutsenko reached a preliminary agreement in March of 2019 between Giuliani and the Ukrainian Ministry of Justice and the Republic of Ukraine to assist Ukraine in recovering money in overseas bank accounts Lutsenko said was owed to the government of Ukraine. Various drafts of the contracts called for Giuliani to receive either $300,000 or $500,000 for his work. Then, acting on Giuliani's strong recommendation, Lutsenko, Kulik, and Shokin agreed to pay two lawyers, Tonzig and DeGeneva, at least $250,000 to represent them as a means to publicize their various allegations about the Bidens. On 12 April 2019, Tonzing and DeGeneva sent a draft retainer to Lutsenko and Kulik, agreeing to represent both men and help uncover evidence of illegal conduct in Ukraine regarding the United States, an apparent reference to the allegations about the Bidens. That's a $125,000 retainer. 3 days later, on April 15th, Tonzing and DeGeneva sent a similar retainer to Shokin, agreeing to represent him for the purpose of collective evidence regarding his March 2016 firing as prosecutor general of Ukraine and the role of the Vice President Joe Biden in that firing, and presenting such evidence to U.S. and foreign authorities. That was $125,000. Total, $250,000. But a week later, their plans were suddenly upended when Ukraine overwhelmingly elected Volodymyr Zelensky. The draft retainer between Tonzing and DeGeneva and the Ukrainians demonstrates that compliance with FARA was on their mind, and they know what it is. Because the draft contracts for all three stated, client acknowledges that he has been advised that the firm's services may entail services subject to the mandatory disclosure under United States law, in particular the Foreign Agents Registration Act, requiring the firm to register as a foreign agent and report some of its activities on behalf of particular political parties or entities. That's in the fucking retainer. So DeGeneva and Tonzing and Giuliani can't turn around and say, oh no, Farah. Can't be too dumb to crime when you put it in black and white. Federal investigators have also reviewed records and questioned witnesses regarding an instance where Tonzing had registered as a foreign agent. Tonzing previously represented the Kurdistan Democratic Party, largest political party in Iraqi Kurdistan, and the party's representatives in the United States and Canada. That 2017 representation might prove to be powerful evidence for prosecutors if they were to charge Tonzing, because it demonstrates both her familiarity and experience with the Foreign Agents Registration Act. Another incentive for Tonzig, DeGeneva, and Giuliani to avoid registering as foreign agents was that their work required secrecy. Although Poroshenko, the outgoing president, was willing to go along with backing the investigation into the Bidens, Zelensky was not, because there was no factual basis. And they refused to proceed. And that's when Trump and Giuliani engaged in their campaign to force Zelensky to announce such an investigation by withholding $400 million in military aid. Still wanting to aid Trump and Giuliani, but not wanting to have to publicly disclose details of their activities, Tonzing and DeGeneva moved forward with providing pretty much the same services to the three Ukrainians, but without a formal retainer letter and no longer seeking to be paid. Tess Capilotto, a Washington-based attorney who has counseled clients on FARA matters for more than a decade, says that providing services for a foreign client free or not executing a formal contract does not excuse you from registering as a foreign agent and disclosing their activities to the public in almost all such instances. Federal prosecutors have identified more than 24 specific acts by Giuliana Tonzing and DeGeneva, the non-disclosure of which they believe constitutes evidence of FARA violations. These include everything from attempting to obtain a visa for Shokin to visit the U.S., to having Trump fire the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, who the Ukrainian prosecutors considered an adversary, to DeGeneva amplifying their story on Fox News, all part of lobbying for a foreign country without registering. Papers unsealed in federal court in the Southern District on 28 September shed further light on the investigation. They describe materials federal prosecutors have sought, including, quote, retainer agreements with any Ukrainian national, including former prosecutor general Yuri Lutsenko, and, quote, evidence of knowledge of FARA laws. That's what Wass was just talking about. The fact that it's in their retainer. Hey, we might have to disclose. We don't want to. So then they went to work for free and didn't get paid. Wonder where that money came from eventually. The answer is Dmitry Firtash. The answer is fraud guarantee. And a source who has seen the search warrant for Giuliani says it also listed some 12 people investigators are seeking information on. Those include all three Ukrainian prosecutors, Lutsenko, Shokin, and Kulik. And the search warrant also sought any records in Giuliani's possession relevant to his communications with Tonzing and DeGeneva. Oh. Probably maybe some communication about FARA or registering that is proof that they know the FARA laws. Anyway, please support The Guardian. Please follow Murray Wass for crucial reporting on ongoing investigations that matter to us. And with that, let's play the Fantasy Indictment League.
I'm going to be indicted!
No, wait, it's going to be a...
Indicted!
Honey, Dick.
Indicted!
Honey.
I'm going to be indicted!
Hold it, they can't. It's going to be okay. Just calm down.
I can't calm down. I'm going to be indicted!
All right, pretty simple for me this week. I got Rudy, Shokin, Lutsenko, Kulik, Tonzing, DeGeneva. Boom. And then I'm going to add to my team, because I decided I can pick 10 now because I made this whole thing up. Gates, superseding Weisselberg, superseding Trump org, and a Tom Barrack plea agreement. Anyway, those are my picks, and that is the show. Until next week, please take care of yourselves, take care of each other, take care of the planet, and take care of your mental health. I've been Allison Gill, and this is Mueller, She Wrote. Mueller, She Wrote is written and produced by Allison Gill in partnership with MSW Media. Sound design and engineering are by Molly Hockey. Jesse Egan is our copywriter, and our art and web designer by Joel Reeder at Moxie Design Studios. Mueller, She Wrote is a proud member of MSW Media, a group of creator-owned podcasts focused on news, justice, and politics. For more information, visit mswmedia.com.
They might be giants that have been on the road for too long.
Too long.
And they might be giants aren't even sorry.
Not even sorry.
And audiences like the shows too much.
Too much.
And now they might be giants are playing their breakthrough album, Flood.
All of it.
And they still have time for other songs.
They're fooling around.
Who can stop They Might Be Giants and their liberal rock agenda?
Who?
No one.
This ad was paid for with somebody else's money.
MSW Media.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.